What changed about you when you became a father? How, if at all, did you prepare for it? And what advice would you give to young dads? Hunter Johnson is the founder and CEO of The Man Cave, which provides emotional intelligence programs for young men. He joins us frequently. G'day, Hunter.
Hey, Josh. Great to be here, mate.
Where do you even start with advice for a dad-to-be?
Well, I think it begins with the fact that dads have an interest in wanting to be a present and a proud father. And if that's your baseline, then we've got a pretty exciting conversation ahead of us. And just for those listening who haven't heard about what we do, we run a lot of programs with teenage boys in high schools across the country, but we also do a lot of work with their parents. And occasionally we hyper-focus on working with the father figures or the male mentors in the young men's lives, because we know alongside the mother or the maternal connection, the fatherly connection is incredibly important, particularly in their often very turbulent and sometimes rebellious teenage years. As I was saying, the interesting thing we're starting to really see now, which is what I love about the conversation we're having now, is that there are a huge groundswell of dads who have really been vocal around wanting to be the best father they can possibly be. And of course, that's been there for a while, but we're definitely noticing a healthy agitation around dads wanting to be active and present in their kids' lives, as we're noticing the shifting expectations of men, but also fathers in today's world.
1-300-222-702 is the phone number. I'd love to hear from you about what changed when you became a dad and how you prepared for it, and if you have any advice for young dads to be, especially if you're about to become a father or if your children, your son is. On the text line, one person says, since becoming a dad, I'm far less career and money focused. I value time with the family more than anything. Lots of my friends worry me working insane overtime with the goal of early retirement, but you never get this time back. Yeah, Hunter, realizing that there's a phase of, you know, children have particular phases. Once that phase is over, you're never going to be able to turn the clock back to the phase that you missed while you were busy, you know, trying to do something else.
Absolutely. And I think, the many, many fathers we've sat in circles in with, whether it's in, you know, the camps that we've run or the school programs we've run, is those that really regretted not being present for the early years because they put their career first is quite astounding, the number of men who wish they did things a little bit differently. And so I think, again, this is why it's so important that we're having conversations like this, because we are at a really exciting point where we're getting an opportunity to rewrite the script of masculinity and the rules that we've inherited, but also to write it into a narrative that brings us back into community. And we know, particularly for so many dads, that those early years, whether they have the opportunity due to the structure of their workforce to take some time off, becomes a really important part in the social emotional development of the young that they're looking after. It gives them a chance to build some connections and some intimacy that becomes, I guess, the base plate for them to build a long-lasting, deep and nourishing paternal relationship for years to come. And what I love, particularly around the dads that are interested in finding out a bit more and being a better dad, is they're also seeking out environments that are dad-only spaces. And some of the situations we've sat in is with men going, you know, I haven't sat down and talked about, you know, what it is actually like to be a father. You know, I've played a very active and present role in just, you know, knowing where I can support and where's my lane and where isn't my lane, but actually getting the space to sit down and talk about, you know, what was the childbirth like? Mm. What was getting ready, you know, to say goodbye to some sacrifices of some boy behavior and welcome in some, you know, behaviors that are much more of a man type of attitude, all the way to, you know, what was the role of their father in their lives? And you start to see these nourishing and heart-opening conversations for men who, you know, were really itching to have these types of conversations for a very long time. So I think we need to keep fanning this flame of encouraging more dads, but particularly because we know those dads who are, you know, early on in their careers professionally often comes with a lot of loneliness, because it's quite a step change to being responsible for another life form that, you know, is codependent on you to exist.
Yeah. 1-300-222-702 is the phone number. At 2:45 on ABC Radio right around New South Wales, as we speak with Hunter Johnson, a regular guest, about men's issues, boys' issues, the needs of young males. He runs Man Cave, which provides emotional intelligence programs for young men. And today we're discussing becoming a father. What changed about you when you became a father? What the best piece of advice advice you received about becoming a father was and what advice you'd give to other young dads. On the text line, Linda says, I've noticed that many dads are better on second marriages. They put work second and the kids become a priority. It makes it very hard for the children from the first marriage, though, unfortunately, says Linda. Brett's given us a call. Hey, Brett.
How you going?
Terrific. What was your experience?
Well, I was 18, not quite 19, when my first child was born. And, you look to your own father, but with different generations, there's different, philosophies on what a father should do. So, yeah, you've got to find that balance of where you want to be and just realise that there's now three or four, if you have twins or triplets, in your relationship with your partner, wife, or whatever.
And Brett, were you in a relationship with the child's mother?
Yeah, we were married for 38 years.
No, I mean, when you were 18 and had the kids.
Oh, yeah. We're over 12 months.
Right. And so did you mean to have a kid when you were 18?
Oh, God, no.
No. I was like, that's audacious. No, yeah, right, okay. But this was a person with whom you wanted to spend the rest of your life.
Oh, God, yeah.
And yeah, so definitely. what was that like when you found out when you were 18, the prospect of suddenly having to take responsibility for this baby?
Yeah, it was it just changes things totally because you now have to think about supporting and looking at what you want to do in your life, and sometimes you got to go, no, I can't do that right now because that child is the most important thing in your life, and you know they need to be brought up and looked after and cared for the best you can do, you know, in the circumstances.
Yeah. If you could go back in time and talk to yourself at the age of 18 before your child was born, what would you say?
Don't stress too much about the little things. If your child's healthy and your relationship with your wife or partner is healthy, things will work out. Just don't stress the little things.
Yeah. Thanks, Brett. Great to talk to you. Hunter, do you want to say anything to Brett before we let him go?
I was just saying, Brett, now that you're 38 years down the track, what have you learnt and what do you hope to pass on to not just the young people in your direct family lineage, but the young people that you're a role model for?
As a grandfather now, I try and spend more time with the children because, like you've said before in your previous comments, that when you're younger, you're more preoccupied in making sure the monetary side of life is catered for, and that sort of takes up a lot more of your time. But realise that later on in life that it's more important to spend as much as you can with your family because they grow up so fast. And that's it. I have a grandson now who's 18, and I virtually only see him every now and then because they had their own life, and you have to accept that. People grow up and they move on, and they get partners when they develop their lives. In that, you've got to accept that you will get only portions of their life from now on, not the whole caboodle.
Right,
and enjoy that.
It's great to hear your experience. If I'm doing my sums right, you had a kid at 18. Now you've got an 18-year-old grandson, and you must be barely in your mid-50s.
I'm 63.
Oh, okay, I'm a decade out. 63. Still, you're going to... I mean, you're probably going to have great-grandchildren.
Oh, God, I hope not. I've already had that conversation with the oldest grandson. I can tell you that right now.
All right,
well, Josh, I was...
Put it this way.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Josh.
Hang on, Hunter. Just before we let Brett go, I just want to hear Brett's final thought. Go for it, Brett.
I think as long as the children are healthy and happy, and they're able to look after their lives, then that's all you wish for in the long run.
Thanks, Brett. Have a good one. Thanks for the call, Hunter. Go for it.
I love that. I was just going to say that there's a saying in our line of work that the grandparent and the grandchild has a special relationship because they have a common enemy, which I like a lot. And it made me have a giggle for Brett there.
That's very good. On the text line, Julia says, when our son was born, both my partner, now husband, and I were freelancers. So we had to be in this together as one of us would be perhaps away. So we had no time to jump up and down over roles and responsibilities. It has worked. Father and son have a great relationship. They've just walked the Larapinta Trail together, says Julia. Sometimes the mother won't let go also, and they see it as their domain. Thank goodness that's all changing. It's always a shock and a joy to have a child. Just enjoy it and don't overtrain, says Julia. Another person says, hi, men. A huge learning curve for me was the idea of being present for your partner and children. Not just earning and being around and existing. It's hard work. But it's long lasting and sometimes, it's hard work because it's change, but it's long lasting and sometimes change is hard, but its long term outcomes are just irreplaceable, that person says. Yeah, that's a really good point, isn't it? About actually being present, not just being around. Hi, Josh, writes another listener. I've just celebrated my son's first birthday. Oh, congratulations. Once he was born, this person writes, I had to give up 2 days of work so that my partner could keep her teaching role at work. Best thing that ever happened to me. It's so amazing to watch them grow up. Absolutely love it. Not to mention that I've never had a better relationship with my father as he comes around and spends time with us all the time now, that person says. Another person says, hi, Josh, once I became a dad, I started crying in movies. And my advice, which I wish I'd taken much earlier myself, is to go to therapy. A whole new world opens up for you with possibilities once you have strategies for the resolution of issues, whatever they are. Yeah, that's funny. Hunter, I started crying as well. As soon as I had kids, I'm much more of a blubberer in movies now, especially if it has anything to do with children. Josh writes another listener, I have a good relationship with my 15-year-old teenage son. The majority of my arguments with him are based around mobile phone use. My best piece of advice for young fathers with young boys is sort out the phone early, starting from year zero. Don't give them the phone. Set boundaries early with the phone. Kat in Thirroul says, Josh, it doesn't matter if you're a dad or a mum. The child's needs are the same. Every child needs the attention of the parent, not computers or televisions. And Pam says, I want to thank you so much for these segments. I'm the single mother of 3 adult sons, and I have 1 grandson. I so worry about the role of young men in our society and the future for my grandson. Talking about it as you do is vital, in my opinion, says Pam. So that's nice, Hunter. Thanks, thanks to you also for raising these conversations and for having them in as frank a way as you do. Do you want to just talk about either being present rather than simply being around and also phones and devices?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll also just sneak in with the Larapinta Trail example as well. What I love about that, first of all, is obviously an incredible walk to do that connects us to, you know, First Nations history and culture in our beautiful country. But secondly, I think particularly in times like these, investing in experiences with our young people is incredibly important and something that I think is a really tight, tangible takeaway for anybody listening is with your kids, if you can invest in 1 adventure a year and 1 adventure per child individually is the sweet spot. And that doesn't have to be a big overseas holiday, but just something where you can have time together and often time in nature can also start to, intervene with some of the technology challenges we're facing as well. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, work getting more intense, hours getting more intense at the office, one of the things which I think just to shift the dial on is we often talk about like quality time is really important. What we've seen in our work is that's actually quantity time, particularly with young men. And, you know, often parents who are listening to this will probably have a giggle that some of the best conversations that they have with, you know, their kids is when they're on drive somewhere. And particularly with young men, when you're kind of shoulder to shoulder, often things will just bubble out. And I think we've actually talked about that before on this segment, Josh. So just wanted to kind of bring that back in that, you know, just family ritual of 1 adventure a year. If you can do it individually with kids, that's awesome. And then secondly, I do think there is something funny and probably frustrating about the masculine or manhood experience where we're very good at offering solutions and particularly when people are sharing. And often people, and particularly their partners, aren't necessarily looking to be fixed or looking for advice in that moment. They're just looking for presence and to be heard and to be seen. And I think one of the most incredible skills is this concept of active or generous listening, which is really just holding space for the other person to speak their truth. And one of the most important parts of people feeling seen and validated and heard is actually not offering them advice, and actually just saying, you know, I'm here for you, I'm listening, that sounds really hard, just, you know, effectively validating their experience.
Mm.
But that concept of being present in moments of, it's not necessarily the big moments, like that's great, but it's the micro moments that matter, really, so the littlest things.
It's so tricky, isn't it, to not be distracted looking at a work email at the same time that something tiny is going on that the children could use your attention for. Craig in Ryde, we've only got a minute left. Go for it.
Yeah, look, I was just going to say, everything that's been said is just, you could write a book, you know, every parent will have experienced the same things about time and time getting away on you. But for young dads, I always, you know, remember those first circumstances where things change. You weren't the most important person in the world to your partner anymore. And it's really up to the man or the father to make that work and to find a way to sort of, you know, fit in and take their part in this new family, because there's all of a sudden this new little one who's the most important thing to your partner. You've got to grow up. I think, you know, Hunter said before, you've got to stop doing boy things and be a man. But you know, you can only reiterate that time is everything. And just very quickly, we got our first holiday outside of school holidays, 18 and 22-year-old this week. We're on a car trip, the four of us, no boyfriends, no girlfriends. I'm so looking forward to just a week, just the four of us as a family unit again.
Oh, good on you. Good luck. Have a great time. Drive safe. Thanks, Craig. Have a good one. Take care. And listen to this show while you're on the road. Hunter, great to talk to you. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, mate.
So, that's Hunter Johnson, the founder and CEO of The Man Cave. They provide emotional intelligence programs for young men, and he joins us from time to time to talk about how best to be a man in the 21st century.